Good morning, friends. Good morning, and welcome back here on this last Sunday in October. It is always so good to come back from each of the places where we are all doing the work of God out in the world and to gather together here as a community of faith, recentering and refreshing, ready to support each other in continuing the work of Jesus for another week. Whether this is your first Sunday with us or your thousandth, we are glad that you're here. We're especially glad to have Thelma Wallace with us here on her birthday, 96 today. We are so excited. I believe that Thelma is Stone Church's oldest living member, and we are so excited that she remains an active part of this church family. Absolutely. Be sure to wish her a happy birthday after the service. And please take a moment to let us know that you're here, either by filling out the attendance form in the green welcome pad, by clicking on the chat link over Zoom, or by following the QR code in your bulletin. While you're at it, you can fill out one of the prayer cards in the row beside you, or type your joys and concerns into the chat thread. The children will collect them later in the service. The Area Ladies Prayer Breakfast is being hosted right here at Stone Church this coming Saturday. It's a great opportunity for food and fellowship together with folks from around our region. You can connect with Pam Grugan or just reach out to the office if you'd like more details. The Alternative Christmas Gifts Bazaar is an annual Stone Church tradition. It's a way to give back around the holidays, supporting organizations here in our community and around the world. The ACGB planning team is looking for volunteers, both to bake some delicious scones and to help run the event on December 3rd. If you're interested in learning more, just check out the Friday Flash or simply write ACGB, Alternative Christmas Gifts Bazaar, ACGB. Just write that on the comments section of the attendance form and somebody will follow up with you. I want to give a special thanks this morning as well to the members of our property team who responded yesterday to a small fire in the kitchen. A group was cooking for an event and a fire broke out small. Fortunately, no one was hurt. But we are so grateful for the whole team of folks, including Lauren, who happened to be practicing the organ at the time and gave us a call. We are so grateful for those folks that work hard to keep ministering to the community through the use of this building. The finance team is also grateful for your incredible generosity this month. Your faithful giving through the offering box in the back, through the office, or over the website makes the ministry that we do together possible. The church is still running a deficit this year, but the gap has narrowed quite a bit thanks to your giving over the past couple of weeks. And this is pledge season. A good number of you have already turned in your pledge for the year, defying Cindy's expectations. Thank you. It really does help the leadership team plan the ministry for the year ahead. Here with some thoughts from your finance team is Jeff Close.
Hi, I'm Jeff Close. I'm a member of your finance team, and as you know, this we are in our middle of our stewardship series. We always like to take that opportunity to thank you for all the giving that you give to the church, not just financially, but in all the ways that you do. We really appreciate it. But we also need to talk about the finances of next year, and this is the time when we start planning our budget. And to plan that budget, we rely on you to let us know, if you're able to give, how much you intend to give for next year. There's several different ways to do that. We have pledge cards that are in the back by the offering box. You can fill this out. You can put it in the envelope and drop it in there. You can fill it out, take it to the church office. You can call the church office. Rowan would be happy to talk to you. You can go online and do it on our website, Or you can just take your Friday flash. There's a link in there. Click it. It'll take you to what you need to do and fill it out. So we have had some questions about filling out the actual card. There are three different lines on here about giving. The top one's general ministries. That is going to be if you give money to the church and you don't tell the church what it's for, that goes towards our budget and everything in the budget. The next two, we have property projects funds and then the organ and piano. Those are outside of the budget. If you want to give to those, you put that in there and it will go directly to that. When you give to the church, though, you need to let the church know that that's the money that you're giving to at that time. So if you want to put it on your memo and your check or anything like that, that's appreciated. If, like I said, those are three separate things. We've had questions about how to fill it out. If you feel like you've filled it out wrong, we've already received some this year, you can call Rowan and get it fixed the way you want it. If you think you filled it out wrong last year, don't worry about what the numbers say on your statement. Just give what you intend to give, and don't worry about how you filled it out in the past. So I will say that it is really important that we get these back. When we build our budget, we build it typically in December. We ask all the teams to give the numbers that they would like to put into the budget, and then we go through what we hear from you that you're going to give and try to build a budget for you. The part that takes us the longest is trying to come up with a number that you guys don't tell us what's coming. Every year, we get plenty of money and we really appreciate it, but you guys don't tell us it's coming, and it is really hard to figure out what that number is each year, and essentially it's educated guessing, and we would love nothing more than to take the guessing out of our budget and give you a good budget. As Pastor Ben said, we created a deficit budget for this year. We also would love nothing more than to create a balanced budget next year. We can't do that without knowing what you're going to give. And we also know that our costs, they are going up. We know about inflation. And when we bring money in, that first money is always going to go to pay the bills. We're always going to pay our bills. So when we want that extra large slice of the pie to go to the witness team, we need everybody to give what they can and let us know that that's happening. Again, we really appreciate everything you do. And we understand some of you won't be able to give financially. That's not a problem. There's tons of ways you can give to the church outside of money, and we appreciate that as well. If you can, please get these in by November 12th so we can build that budget in December to present in January to the church forum for approval. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff. This morning was the last week of our new membership class, and next week in worship, we're looking forward to welcoming in some new members, including a baptism right here. I hope you'll plan to be here to celebrate as we as a church family make promises to one another. This week, in our stewardship series, Beyond the Offering Plate, as we continue, we reflect on our stewardship of work. Our calling as followers of Christ and as individuals with unique gifts can and should flourish in all sorts of ways and places, in the places where we earn a paycheck and beyond. Throughout this series, you are also invited to share with one another the rhythms of life that help you to be a good steward. There's a bulletin board there in the back of the sanctuary for you to share. Here's the question for this week. What tools have you used in discerning vocation in your life? What tools have you used in discerning vocation in your life? May the music of the prelude center you as you reflect and we begin this time of worship together. Thank you.
Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship found printed in your bulletins. It is inspired by a prayer by Edward Hayes. Family of faith, you are stewards of God's grace. The work we do in the world is done in companionship with God. It embodies God's handiwork. In the joy of doing it for its own sake, in the releasing ownership of it, in our invitation to others to share in it, in the ways it draws us near to God. Praise the Lord. We are stewards of God's grace.
The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and power and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. When the deacon body was asked to speak to you about our work within this church family, I felt as a seasoned part of this group that maybe it was up to me to try. And so I hasten to say I speak mostly for myself, perhaps a little bit for my dear partner, but mostly from my own thoughts. And many of you know that the New Testament documents the origin of deacon work. As I understand it, the leadership came to realize that there was just too much for them to do well, as far as caring and nurturing and supporting their flock. And so they called out some people from their midst to be the focus of that kind of work. And so we come to Stone Church and where we fit into all of that. I think that in all the time we have been members here, we have been aware of deacons, but it's been a learning curve on just exactly what that means and where we fit into it. Some of you may know Bill Barrier, and Bill Barrier, as a deacon, told us several times that we had been called out to assume this role. And after giving it prayerful thought, we said, no, we're too busy doing other things. It's just not the right time for us. So I pondered this week, what made the difference? Why did we finally accept the call which you so generously have offered to us? And the truth is, I really don't know. I can't pinpoint any one thing. Bill is smiling down there. But I will say this, that there were deacons and others that they called to nurture us, beginning actually as we moved from being in town to being out where Bruce could have his big garden. And it was actually deacons and those they called that moved us even to the point of making our beds and giving us an opportunity to go with friends to a Johnny Cash show that evening. So that was certainly, you know, something went off in our minds. But then, as many of you know, we sustained two very significant tragedies. And certainly Donna and Christy were there for us, but it was also the deacons that showed up. And, you know, they didn't necessarily know what to say, but they brought things, they were there. So, you know, we growingly came to realize that why not us? We're always gonna be busy. We're always gonna have things to do. And we're always gonna feel a little bit like, can we really do this job? So we finally agreed, and it's been one of the best decisions we've ever made. I think some highlights for us as far as the deacon ministry goes are opportunities to help people get places, be that even to get their hair cut, or to, you know, to get groceries, or to get to appointments. I think that also providing meals, and if that means, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to do it, but we, as a deacon group, certainly are the center of that, but we reach out, of course, to all of you. And there have been families who have been helped over a long period of time. And as I said, we had experienced it ourselves. The visiting and the listening, and that's a growing, for us, it's a growing understanding. And just walking with people through a crisis. And also our strong commitment to prayer, which Marty has made much easier to be aware of. And lest I digress a little, I neglected to mention that when we became deacons, I especially was very much supported by Martha Swigert and by Doris Comerford, who mentored me, not just for a little while, but for quite a long while, and I can even call on them today. And I also would like to say that under Daisy's leadership of the deacon group, this idea of having caring groups and being able to make it work well, she was inspired to help us with that, and I think that's kind of going well. And so now that I mentioned caring groups, I want to remind you that if you look at your directory, all the deacons are mentioned and their caring groups. And I hope you know who your deacon is, but you know, if you don't, you can look on that list. And one other thought I had as I prepared for this was that this is a work in progress. And so we are very much open. I think I speak for all of you. I know I speak for Patty and Carol, who are current leadership. And so we welcome your suggestions. Steve Kemp's been pretty open about making suggestions. He's one of on our deacon care group. So we welcome that. And I also thought that perhaps you were sitting there thinking, well, we do these things, and good thing you do. But I guess I sense that human beings kind of need structure. And so having a core group, and I think that's what the early church leadership thought too, having that structure as a bouncing off place, as a guide to everyone, is an important reason for a church to have deacons. And lest you think that it's all work and no play, several times a year, we get together as a group, and of course over food, right? and you know, and just enjoy each other's company. So, you know, feel free to reach out to us. We try to be sensitive to what is needed, but you know, we are open to suggestions, and we're a pretty friendly group. So, okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you. If you have a prayer card, please hold it up so that our children can come and collect those from you as they come forward for our story. Pastor Ben will take them. Good morning. Thank you so much for collecting up those prayer cards. There's one. Oh, Cyrus, can you take that to Pastor Ben, please? Thank you. So it's really good to be with you. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me. We're in the midst of our stewardship series here at Stone Church right now. And I'm wondering, do you know what a steward is? Go for it, Henry. Take a guess. They might. What do you got, Cece?
I'm listening to these, Greek stories, and a steward is kind of like this guy who's, the herald to the king, and He's kind of the messenger thing.
They can be a messenger. What else? Oh, thank you. That was enlightening. So when we're talking about a steward here in church, we're talking about someone who takes care of or tends to a resource so that resource or that gift can do fully what it's meant to do. It's kind of like some people think of it like a caretaker of a house. Oh, he's good. yeah. So like a caretaker of a house, the steward takes care of the house so that it functions, so that it makes sure that the laundry gets washed or the food gets cooked or guests are welcomed or things are cleaned. The steward makes sure that all those things happen. Now, being a good steward is something that each and every one of you can do. In fact, I have a little something that I need one person to try and take care of, somebody to steward for me. Zach, do you want to try? Do you want to be the person who tries? So this is really important to me, so I really, really need you to do a good job. Oops, I'm losing my microphone. I need you to do a really good job because this is so important to me. This is a big, big bowl of popcorn. And I need you to take really, really good care of that because popcorn is my favorite food. You're doing a really good job of holding it. Do we have any, do you know what to do to steward that popcorn? Try it? What do you think? Should he eat all of my popcorn? Would that be taking a good care of it? He should taste care. Well, should he hide it?
Wait, no.
No, that wouldn't be it.